When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is August 23rd, 2023. We are here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. We are right back here on Thursday, Stephanie Chase and John Alba, for your AEW All-In preview show. On Friday, the post-SmackDown show. On Saturday, it's Grapsody, and it's the post-Collision show. Sunday, Reg and Phil are back here for the official AEW All-In post show. This man will be here numerous times throughout the week, as well as over on FightfulSelect.com. We'll tell you more about that. It's Alex Pawlowski. Alex, how you doing?
Mixed bag. But overall, I'm really excited to see what AEW is giving us at this monumental occasion, and I love seeing how much the wrestlers realize it's a monumental thing that they get to do. And I know they're going to go all out, no pun intended, at all in to give us the best possible show. And I'm very much looking forward to Sunday.
Right off the top of the show, we want to send our condolences and our love to the family, the friends, the fans of Terry Funk. In my opinion, probably the most versatile performer that I have ever seen. And I had posted this on Twitter as well. Depending on what era you became a wrestling fan or what decade, you likely know Terry Funk for a completely different set of accolades, achievements, moments than someone of another generation. He had legendary matches with Harley Race and Ric Flair in the NWA. And before that, he had legendary empty arena matches in like Memphis with Jerry Lawler. And even before that or around that, you know what? He and his brother Dory had legendary matches as a tag team. And then he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go over to Japan and do some death matches. And those are also going to be legendary. I'm going to wrestle people like Hayabusa and Masato Tanaka. And then he's like, I'll do the Chainsaw Charlie thing. And hey, how about this? I'll lend ECW some credibility. And then I'll come back to WWE and help relaunch ECW. The career that this man had was second to none. It was historic. He was a crossover star as well, had success in acting. Alex, what are your memories of Terry Funk?
I know him as the Deathmatch King, but he was so much more than that. What I loved him for is that, and I retweeted this promo, and I'm so glad I just happened to see it on the timeline. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go looking for it, because I saw this several years ago. I was like, man, that's a performer. It's one where, if you have no context, as I still don't really, around everything surrounding this promo, he's talking about his dead father and remembering the funeral where everybody came and they brought all these flowers, this amazing celebration. That was years ago. But recently I went to visit his grave and there was nothing there but me and the Texas wind. And I looked down at his headstone, and it said F-U-N-K, funk. And I said, I am going to make sure, I promised the heavens that I would make sure my father's name lived on as the name in professional wrestling forever. And if I have to stomp Steamboat's little pig-nosed kid, then I'm going to do that. And I was like, you went from the most sympathetic babyface thing about my dead dad and making a promise to God that you were going to honor him to stomping a man's small child in the head. And he did it like that. That's a performer.
I am far more crass. And one of my favorite promos of his is, your mother's a whore. As well as, Foley, if I had a head like yours, I'd have it circumcised.
That's true.
Fantastic. Rest in peace, Terry Funk. I did a short podcast on this earlier here on the channel. We're going to obviously continue to talk about Terry Funk and the memories that you guys have about him throughout the night. Robert Lyle, we're going to promote our Super Chats and Humper Chats. Obviously, you can get your question or statement in by sending those. If you have a question or statement that is for a particular show this weekend and you want to leave it ahead of time, go to humperchats.com. That's how you can leave them a little bit early. Our great moderator, Luis or Drew, will catch those as well. Robert Lyle says, rest in peace, Terry Funk. One of my first wrestling memories was Terry pile-driving Flair through the table after Steamboat. Flair 3, an absolute legend on the table, basically. Yes,
nope. Not through, on,
and then they fell off the table. Oh, classic, man. Yeah. Classic. That was Ric Flair at some of his best, like a toned down best, but Terry Funk just at his best as well. Just very, very great stuff. The Book of Rob says, first and foremost, RIP Terry Funk, absolute legends, absolute legend. SRS, safe travels to you and everyone else heading across the pond. I fly out tomorrow. London, Paris, Chicago. Let's get it. Wow. It says, shout out to the awesome Rev Pro show on Saturday also. Thank you to everyone at Fightful. Might end up going to that. I'm going to see how I feel. I am not planning on getting off of Eastern time the two nights I'm there. I'm just going to stay on Eastern time and just... Yeah. We've also got Ronald Hollick saying, RIP Terry Funk, as Eddie Kingston speaks, the GOAT, Terry Funk versus Junkyard Dog was the first match I watched, Saturday night's main event, November 2nd, 85. That's another thing about Terry Funk. It's like NWA, WWF, WWE era.
Right.
ECW. The WCW or the WWE version of ECW, the old NWA, as well as WCW, TNA. He did stuff in MLW, ECW, every company in Japan you could think of. An incredible resume. An incredible resume. We're as I mentioned, we're going to keep talking about Terry Funk through this night. Please leave us a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate it. We are going to be dropping, I don't know how else to say it, an ass load of interviews over the next few weeks, guys. Joel Pearl's been doing interviews. I've been doing interviews. We got Tempest from Wrestle Talk hitting up the junket this Friday doing interviews with us, including Vicky, our friend. We might be getting an interview with Sting.
Wow.
Just for you, Vicky. Hoping. Then Iridian is going to be it All Out next week. Just a ton of great stuff. But let's talk about this Dynamite. Oh man, the Elite are set to face Juice Robinson and the Guns, but Rick Knox got KTFO'd, and this turns into a big skirmish, which Alex, I am actually more partial to, because I don't want to see Bullet Club Gold versus Bullet Club Elite blown off just in a random match before All In. To me, there is an incredible amount of story here. And one of the things that I think needs to be put forth is, sure, the Elite helped build AEW.
Right.
But without Bullet Club, do the Elite have the leverage to help start AEW?
Yeah.
And who's running it now? Who's running it now? Yeah. Jay White's running it now.
That's right. I think that there's a lot to say, but I feel like the match was going to be fun, but it'll be great after All Out, All In, because then you can start really building that as a feud. I think that certainly has a lot of legs. This was great because you forgot everybody that was involved in this. Like when Takeshita showed up, I was like, oh, right, of course. You know, like everybody is involved in this in different ways. The one guy that I really missed was Hangman. And it the joke in my head was, wait, did Punk send him home from Dynamite too? Like, why isn't he here? He's a major part of this whole story as well. But I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this goes at Wembley, at All Out, because we can look at the card for All Out right now and go, a lot of those matches are happening after they set up things that happen at All In. So, Bullet Club Gold versus the Elite is an absolute money feud that can last a long time.
Yeah, and I think it should last a long time. I think it should be a prime feud for them as well. Mm-hmm. Takeshita got involved here, obviously, and there is that element of it. And I expect Kenny Omega and Takeshita to face each other at All Out as well. But
it seems this, like it.
I mean, I sat there, and let me tell you, it was a long taping on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you watched Collision, but... And I thought the Bullet Club did a great job. They had those guys out there for like 45 minutes in front of a live crowd with a goddamn cardboard cutout.
Yeah. Just
trolling the crowd. And I was like, my God, man. Like, mm-hmm. they are the winners of Collision. Like, more than Punk, more than anybody else, their profile, these four men have improved. And Juice Robinson's been getting rave reviews. And I mentioned this.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned this on the podcast before, but after the incredible FTR match that they had, mm-hmm. I dropped Juice Robinson a text and I was like, man, that was an incredible match. And he doesn't do social media. We talk about it in our interviews. He doesn't do a lot of those either. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, he's like, that's great to hear. Usually everybody hates what I do. And I'm like, you really don't have the internet, do you? Everybody loves you. What are you talking about?
He is. He is an absolute breakout star of the Collision era.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think he's undeniable and would have been even without Collision, but the fact that he gets to be on Collision every week doing amazing stuff, like everyone I know who watches this stuff is going, people who didn't know him before are like, this is my new favorite guy. He's great.
He and Switchblade can be really, really good indications if the company wanted to point to two guys and say, hey, you don't have to be on social media. You don't have to be in anybody's business.
Right.
You be unproblematic. You be a good soldier. You be mm-hmm. a company guy. Don't worry about creative if it doesn't look good for the first few months. Something good's coming for you. They can point it at these two and the guns and be like, all right. Now, granted, that ain't going to work for everybody. So
no, not for everybody.
Speaking of, by the way, guys, today on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. We had an update on Keith Lee and all those weird rumors about him leaving AEW. He was there today, by the way.
Yeah.
Fightful Select has that update. We also had contract news for QT Marshall. How about this? We're going to have contract news each of the next 2 days, AEW and WWE. We had a bunch of all-in news as well. Updates on PAC, updates on Soraya and a bunch of other people, betting odds, as well as the list goes on. Jimmy Van doing the Q&A this week with Joel Pearl. I am submitting some questions or submitting some answers for questions that you guys have that are related to me because I will be traveling, but you'll be able to get that as well, guys. So check it out. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Brent says, no juice, only the Bucks can hurt their Noxie. It's also true. Maddie Nice says, was Paige absent because Punk was there? I do not have that information as to whether or not he was absent or not, really, from this show.
He wasn't part of the brawl.
He wasn't part of the brawl. Yes, but I don't know if that had something to do with anything else. But we got Miguel Ortiz saying, Chainsaw Charlie was my first introduction to Terry Funk. when both he and Mick Foley got tossed by the Outlaws in a dumpster, then off the stage, RIP. It is wild to me. Like, there's a whole lot of people that their first introduction to him was Chainsaw Charlie, or the Stalker for Barry Windham, or Who for Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Or Freddie Joe Floyd for Tracy Smothers.
Yeah.
Like that's just the way that it works.
Yeah.
Sawyer says, love watching clips of Terry Funk versus Stan Hansen. Vintage sirloin beef sons of bitches matchup. RIP Texas Bronco. Do Mox or Eddie do a tribute to him Sunday? I would imagine you're going to see a whole lot of tributes to him Sunday. You're going to see some step over toe holds. You're going to see some half-ass moonsaults. You're going to see some really beautiful things. You're going to see somebody call somebody's mother a whore. Oh,
sure.
You're going to see it. Mm-hmm. If this becomes a Terry Funk tribute show, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I love that. Again, one of the most versatile performers that you will ever see. Grayman Media says, do you see AEW doing a Texas Funk or Terry Funk Memorial Texas Death Match between Kingston and Moxley? Yes, I absolutely do.
Yeah,
I think that when they're in Texas next time, those two will want to do something like that.
Yeah.
Do you see MJF becoming the new leader of OGK? No, I see Adam Cole rejoining with his buddies. Maybe we're going to see how that works out and we'll talk more about it later, but Coy Stallings says, Saturday, the way Juice chased the boys was crazy hilarious. I popped waving his hands in the air. It was gold. Congrats to the boys. Brent and Brandon Tate, they re-signed with AEW today. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Confirmed that negotiations have been going on the last couple of weeks there.
Mm-hmm.
We had another FightfulSelect.com story confirmed right here. So on the media call Tuesday, Alex, Tony Khan, I'm sure he didn't mean to send me down this track, but he's the one who got me the information by saying there are going to be some changes to AEW All In. I was asking around, and I actually saw a tweet that led me down the Rey Fénix path, and the bottom line is Rey Fénix has visa hurdles and stuff like that, and I don't think he's traveling out of the country right now. I don't think he would have been able to compete in the States had he done that. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, they always knew he wasn't going to be available for this. But their line of thinking was like, well, how does it make sense to put one guy in and not the other as far as Lucha Brothers? At least that's the indication I was getting from the Lucha world about this. I will say this. At least they put him in an absolute humper of a match with John Moxley.
Yeah.
Right before this.
Yeah.
It's also one of those where this one's got to happen before All In to explain why he isn't there.
Yes.
But otherwise, I'd be like, you could have done this next week in between All In and All Out and had a pay-per-view quality match. But this is a product of the situation. We'll talk about the match itself, which I thought was incredible.
That was amazing. Like Moxley, this knowing that Phoenix wasn't going to All In, the idea is obviously how does Moxley injure him to write him off of the show? And so he was going after it immediately. I was like, this might be like just a full on drubbing to sell the beatdown. But Phoenix kept fighting back and kept fighting back. This was an amazing match. It was back and forth, much more so than I thought. I loved him kicking out of the Avalanche Death Rider, yes. and then getting put in the choke, and him for a while shaking off the ref, saying, "No, I'm not giving up." He sits up. He's trying to stand, and eventually, now that finger stops wagging because he falls asleep. And this is, it shows that Ray Phoenix did not give up. His body gave out on him. And this was an awesome way to write him out while protecting him. And
made him
made him look great. And I would argue giving extra heat to the BCC and even more ammunition for the other side to want to kill BCC. Like it's a perfect storm of stuff. That it's a bad situation that Ray Phoenix couldn't go to All In, but they absolutely made the sweetest tasting lemonade out of those lemons.
And speaking of lemons, it obviously sucks that Ray Phoenix can't go. He was stretchered out. It was scary. It was tragic. And very serious. And fortunately for him, he can watch the show on NordVPN.com/Fightful. That's right. He can save a bunch of money on the pay-per-view when he goes to NordVPN.com/Fightful, our phenomenal sponsor of tonight's show. Hey, are you looking forward to buying AEW All In and All Out? You want to save a little bit of money? I know Ray Phoenix is going to want to. He's got to get that visa in check. And here's the deal. You can be anywhere virtually with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And you can save a bunch of money in the meantime. Subscribing to those overseas services allows you to save money. And how about this? You're going to effectively pay off your subscription with that amount you're saving on these two back-to-back pay-per-views. Maybe you want to watch AEW on AEW Plus without commercials. NordVPN.com/Fightful. has that for you. 4 extra months free, a huge discount. Protect yourself. It's got the best pop-up blocker I've ever seen. I'm going to be using it when I'm on the plane, when I'm at the hotel, when I'm at the venue, all that good stuff. And it works on all my devices. I'm taking my phone and my Surface Pro. It works on both of those. Here at the house, my desktop, my smart TV, I've got it on my router even. Protect yourself with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Yes, indeed. Very sad what happened to Ray Phoenix. I found that ad segue that Excalibur did goddamn hilarious. That was amazing. He was immediately like, "We just hope that Ray Phoenix is okay, because DraftKings is bringing you all the best." I was like, "Damn, bro, I respect you." That's how I felt watching that. I felt really good about that. That was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Eddie and Penta coming down to rescue Ray Phoenix, only to be stopped by a very nattily dressed Ortiz swinging the mad ball. Yeah. And then Santana coming past them. And Eddie just being like, "What is happening?" He was so good here. Good.
Let's plug FightfulSelect.com, another $5. We had noted this past week, Santana cleared for action. Ortiz had pulled out of a limitless booking, and FightfulSelect.com was told it was due to an AEW obligation. So here's the elephant in the room. They still don't get along. They don't get along. It was over, you know, some booking philosophies and some differences and stuff, but they weren't getting along for quite a while before Santana got hurt. However, they're signed. They're doing their jobs. I respect that an awful lot. And I hope they realize that the sum is where they need to be. If like AEW needs to reinvigorate this tag team division.
Yep.
And we have never seen these guys in AEW not associated with the Chris Jericho feud, either on his side or on the other side.
Yes.
And we are not only getting them back, hopefully, we're getting 2.0 back. Like a team that was exploding before Jericho.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope that they are, I hope that they get on the same page. I really, really do. And it makes sense, Alex, for a couple reasons. The last time we saw Santana and Ortiz together, they were on the BCC side. And one of the last times a lot of people saw Ortiz on AEW TV was him getting the shit beat out of him by Eddie Kingston with a chair.
Yeah.
So no, they don't like Eddie, and they do like BCC.
Right. It's perfect. Everyone that I'm seeing that I saw on the timeline once they were back tonight was immediately booking them to win the tag titles.
Yeah.
Because people love Proud and Powerful. They love the old LAX. They want these guys to get what they felt like. It did feel to me like they were on the precipice of amazing tag team stuff, and then Jericho needed them to fight his battles for them. And so I thought it was a really awesome opportunity, and hopefully they know this, that the fans want it, and it's a very – I think it'd be kind of cool to see them at least bury the hatchet long enough to realize maybe if they do, there's some tag team gold in it and a major run. But I just love what this does for Eddie, because Eddie is so great at reactions. Like him being in the ring and trying to like commiserate with the best friends, because that's all he's got, because Penta is super concerned about Rey Fénix, obviously. And that's Eddie's other guy, so he's got to go around and like talk to the best friends who he doesn't really associate with. There's like enemy of my enemy is my friend type stuff.
Yes.
And so he's after Penta gets in the ambulance and Abrahantes goes with him and Fénix drives away, and Eddie's basically alone. Like the best friends are hanging out, but they know they're not really welcome in that circle, but Renee Young thinks she's welcome in that circle to ask him some questions. And honestly, like this is some really amazing fuel for the fire. Perhaps literally with Eddie Kingston. You never know if he's going to show up with a gas can. But like,
we do have a super chat that says he needs to show up with a Claudio Sucks Eggs shirt on Sunday, a reference to the Terry Funk.
That was great.
Dusty Sucks Eggs shirt.
Yeah. 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 I think that there's a really awesome opportunity for Eddie to ride this. He feels like he knows why Ortiz is turning on him, and he feels like, damn, I screwed up, but still, this is the absolute wrong time to be doing this, dude. Like, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I can't say I'm sorry because I'm Eddie Kingston. This is fodder for some amazing promos he's going to deliver over the next few weeks. I can't wait.
Glad to see Santana back as well. Miguel Ortiz says that I am the only one who noticed how jacked Santana was. Yes, he is very jacked.
Yeah, he is.
Silver says, any idea who the sixth man for Team BCC at All In was going to be before Fénix's visa issues? Possibly Nigel. I've not heard any stuff about Nigel of late. I just know he was taking steps to possibly wrestle again. Another FightfulSelect.com exclusive. Fénix was never actually planned for this match. Ronald Hollick says, Grand Slam for Santana and Ortiz as tag champs. I don't know. I don't know if FTR is going to emerge as tag champs because of Cash Wheeler's situation. And I don't know if they would switch them that quickly again. But possibly. Irene C. says, is Brian just chilling backstage at All In, or will he be involved in the broadcast? Will he be on commentary? Him and Nigel could argue. I kind of hope that happens. Like, I kind of hope that he and Nigel are on commentary at the same time.
That'd be great. That'd be so good.
I was hoping we'd see him and Nigel beat the shit out of each other.
that would have been nice, too.
Blind Wolf Gaming says, hey, guys, this show humped. best birthday today. Is this your birthday today, Blind Wolf? If so,
happy birthday happy to you. Birthday.
Danny Valentine says, where would WWE trolls go if Edge goes to AEW? Copeland. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, did report on Saturday. A lot of people in AEW think he's coming to AEW.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, it's just $5 a month. What are you doing? Yeah. Mike T90K says, this was the best go-home show AEW has done yet. I now care about every match. When's the earliest Edge can debut in AEW? Well, I don't know about that because Edge lies.
He does.
And hey, if you're a wrestler, that's how you foggy the waters for somebody like me. You tweet stuff like, I'm not cleared, I'm not returning, and then you return the next month.
Mm-hmm.
And now he says that his match was the last on his contract, but his contract goes through September, and that makes you go, oh, so he can't appear at All In or All Out, or maybe he's lying.
Maybe he's lying.
Maybe he's lying, or maybe he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's managing expectations. I don't know.
Yep, yeah.
RP says, I really want to have Proud and Powerful dominating the tag team division. I hope they can squash their beef. I do too.
Yeah, me too.
Sammy Guevara's interview interrupted by Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, and Daniel Garcia. I really like Garcia, Parker, and Menard, like just as their own thing. Like I look at that and I'm like, them as a trio is like shit.
They were their own thing before the chaos. And it's I love that they just gravitated back to that because why wouldn't they? They came into the Jericho Appreciation Society together, so they're gonna leave together because there's no beef between them. I think that's great, and I also love that Daddy Magic is on the right side of things here, reminding Sammy Guevara that Jericho was taking the offer. He was going to join. It was only for that stupid painting that they jumped him. Like, otherwise he'd be a part of this team full of scumbags. Why don't you recognize that also makes him a scumbag?
Yeah.
And Sammy Guevara with some pablum about, well, when your friends are wrong, that's when you got to stick by them the most. And usually shouldn't you stick by your friends when they're right the most? I don't know.
That's not when they're wrong in like the face of being right. No.
Yeah.
James Stallings says, what percentage chance Edge goes to AEW now? I'm going to say 50-50. Tony will pay him. Tony will pay him. And also, Tony will pay for a song, whether it's Rob Zombie or Alter Bridge. I mean, here's the reality. I don't know what kind of license WWE might have on that song, but Alter Bridge has like 80 other songs you can pick from.
Yes, it's true.
And then Rob Zombie's song is out there too. He could use Never Gonna Stop as well.
Yeah.
Brie Marie says, gotta say, haven't been the biggest AEW fan, but damn, that was an awesome show. Made me excited to see the pay-per-view. I thought tonight was a fantastic, go-home show. And part of that reason was what we're about to talk about, Alex.
Yeah.
Your boy, Chris Jericho, is out for a contract signing. And this is one of my favorite contract signings I've seen in a long-ass time. Will Ospreay is out there, and he's cutting through the shit, Alex.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And I love that he said what's on a lot of people's mind there. He was like, this is just an excuse for you to perform with your crappy little band in front of 80,000 people because you know you won't ever get to other than that.
Yeah.
And I love that because that is a legitimate thing where people are like, okay.
Yes.
And for Will Ospreay, he says, you know what this is to me? This is a chance to put my kid through school and take care of him and to show everybody why they should be paying me millions of dollars when my contract is up in 6 months, as reported by FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business.
Yes.
And then Jericho was like, you wouldn't even be in this position to make millions of dollars if it weren't for me.
That's
because
a lie.
All the dirt. Yeah, exactly. Because he's like, he's taking credit for it. Jericho is very much a heel here.
He is such a heel here. Yes.
He's taking credit for Ospreay even getting this far, even though Ospreay was very clearly on that road anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, if I wouldn't have called you, you'd probably be paralyzed like Dynamite Kid. Jericho. And he's complaining about what all the people online say. And I'm like, maybe they're right. But here you are, person online, Alex.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm person online. Yeah, Jericho was lying through this entire thing, taking credit where he is. Like, I mean, he is lying. Like, there's zero chance that Will Ospreay, all I got to do is watch him have one match and think that, like, anybody else is responsible for him being here other than that otherworldly talent that he has. Also, the idea that if I hadn't called you, if I had found your number and cold called you and told you to knock off the flippy stuff, you'd be in a wheelchair right now. Now you've got to go out there and prove that you can beat Chris Jericho. Will Ospreay could beat Chris Jericho on Sunday while in a wheelchair. That's how much better Will Ospreay is as a wrestler than today's version of Chris Jericho. Now, Chris Jericho is going to do all kinds of smoke and mirrors to make the match look really good. But Will Ospreay is on another level. Like, all you got to do is watch that match at Forbidden Door with Kenny Omega. Will Ospreay, if you said to me he's the best in the world right now, I have no arguments against it. So, like, I think that there's a really cool thing here of Ospreay just saying, you are another person on the list that if I beat that person, I get paid a bunch of money to do it. And that's what I'm doing this for. He says, I'm working in Indy the day before All In because I get as many dates as I can to put my kid, my stepson, through school. By the way, what a great stepdad that he's not his own kid, his stepkid. He has all of this that he's putting his body through for his stepkid. Now that's a good stepdad.
I agree. Will Ospreay's the baby face. Grayman says, SRS, why aren't we seeing Willie Goat versus Sexy Sammy G? Because Sammy isn't booked on that level right now. Yeah. Ospreay becoming one of the best promos in wrestling before our eyes. Yeah, it really hit me the New Japan presser last year. He's one of my favorite people to interview. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, if you ask him, he'll be like, that's because you always get me to say shit that gets me in trouble. Right. I'm like, well, I think we have very good interviews. He's a lot like Jericho, but he's or not Jericho. He's a lot like Omega, yeah. But Omega is always working.
Yes.
And Ospreay is always serious, but yeah. They are always going towards the same goal, which is mm-hmm. their match. Kenny Omega will completely troll Will Ospreay about things that he doesn't really believe. Mm-hmm. Will Ospreay will then get emotional and say things that absolutely make sense, but that he really feels about Kenny Omega. It's two people I love doing media with.
Yeah.
We got JP saying, Alex had to like Jericho Ospreay. It was amazing. I think Sammy is turning and joining the DCF. I kind of want to see Sammy away from a stable, but also, I don't know. I think that him with Don Callis would be the right kind of heat.
And it would actually be the right kind of swerve. Because he's the only guy who's had Jericho's back this whole time. But Jericho still, like, if you notice, like, Jericho, for no real reason, takes his jacket off before he signs the thing and he hands it to Sammy Guevara like he's his valet. Like, there's a lot of really subtle things that he's never viewed Sammy Guevara as anything more than like a baby brother. Like, he's never viewed him as an equal. He's always viewed him as like this kid who can like go get me coffee. So like if Don Callis could easily cut a promo about how all I had to do was talk to your boy Sammy Guevara for 5 minutes and he was ready to kick your ass because you've been treating him like dog shit, the same way you treat everybody like this. Like, there's an easy path to it. I don't know if they're going to do it, but there's an easy path to get there.
We have Dante V saying, Alex is going to be grasping at straws, looking for something to hate in the contract signing. That was amazing. Well, I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
If you look at it the way that I also look at it, Will's the baby face.
Right. Well, he'll for sure be the baby face in front of that crowd on Sunday.
Did you enjoy it with Jericho just lying through his teeth because he's the heel?
Sure. Sure. That's good. That's good heel work. The problem is that the crowd tonight thought Jericho was the babyface, and he was working heel. So we'll see after everybody's done singing Judas on Sunday if they'll start booing him then. We'll see.
Irene says, Ospreay says he wants to stay with New Japan and doesn't want to live in the U.S., but he mentions his contract on AEW TV and has a tons of AEW feuds available. I can tell you that based on the stuff that I have heard, he is open to a lot more options than he said that he was fairly recently. So I think that he is very, very open to a lot of things. Mike T90K says, shout out to Renee Paquette for dominating the whole show, the real MVP tonight. So let's talk about that, because after the big beatdown that got mentioned earlier, Renee is backstage trying to interview Eddie Kingston, and Renee's out there looking like me answering for Jeremy Lambert's headlines. She's like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And Eddie's like, this is your husband. All right. Well, you got to deal with the consequences now, too.
But the before, when she was like, as Renee Paquette, the person, not the interviewer, told Eddie, I don't care, fix it. I don't want him coming home with grumbling to me about the two of you. You fix it. And tonight, months later, Eddie the GOAT calls back to that little spoiler. He's like, you want me to fix it? I'm going to fix it in London. I'm going to fix it. You see what happens when I fix it. Oh, Eddie is always at least like 20% shooting. That's what I love about a lot of times it's like 95% shooting, but he's always got part of it there. And I'm really, really excited for this.
FTR face-to-face interview with the Young Bucks. So Jay says Dax mentioning his wife, daughter, legacy, and love of wrestling is a cute babyface move the first time. Even the second and third, but he's officially become the most repetitive promo in all of AEW, and MJF and Bucks have cooked him for it. So that was something that I kind of liked. And I'm, you know what? Dax knows how often he does that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Dax was okay with this to build the heat. Mm-hmm. Young or Matt Jackson's like, listen, we get it. You're bringing up your family again. Your family. He's like, we're the ones who got you in here. We're the ones who conjured up the entrance. Mm-hmm. Fuck the revival. That was a thing that we did. Got people interested, invested emotionally in an already great tag team.
Yep.
I thought this was good. They said a lot of things that haven't been said out loud.
I also love that this happened after earlier in the night when FTR came out to
which we didn't mention.
Yeah, FTR came out during that brawl to start the show to kind of protect them because I love that it's an FTR thing. We want you at your best. We don't want you walking in there with a dinged up elbow or a wonky knee. We need you 100% when we beat you. So the world does no excuses when we prove we're the best tag team. I like that that's been a little through line here. And I honestly love that they're prickly back and forth, but each of these teams knows how good the other team is. That's why this match is so important. They're putting each other over while being so prickly about it. It's great.
So we've also got Christian J saying, can't believe the Bucks didn't take the shot. The goal was wide open. Unlike your boys at Grapsody, who don't miss with no clips, just fists. And he can't be in the building, but we'll show him the steal. Have me cackling. There were a lot of puns to be made about Cash Wheeler saving the Young Bucks from the guns and the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were a lot of those. also, I just want to also put over our good friends at Grapsody, who we see every Saturday. There's going to be a reunion of sorts at StarCast. This is, of all the things that are happening at StarCast and All Out Weekend, this is the one that I'm sad that I'm missing the most. But Grapsody will be live at StarCast. I am so happy for these guys. I'm so happy for our old friend, Will Washington, who is going to reunite with Phil and Reg. Phil and Reg, who are doing our all-in post show, but it was announced officially today that they are going to be on StarCast as a stage show. Please go support these guys. They deserve this platform. They deserve this opportunity. What they created was very special, and I'm so glad that, that given this opportunity, they're like, yeah, let's do something special for our audience. So please check that out. I won't be there live. I will be watching it on the Premiere platform, however.
Yeah.
Mike the Jeweler, who was at the show, says, finally, Santana and Ortiz are back. Glad tonight's show was good. How were the Bucks, Kenny, and Punk contained in one building since it was a double taping? Why does AEW merchandise section keep getting smaller and less disappointing? It hasn't gotten smaller, but it is disappointing. It is underwhelming. I don't have an answer for that. I'm going to ask about that, though, because I know, Mike, you mentioned that to me earlier. But they really need to do better with that. Like, that's something WWE generally stays on top of.
Yeah.
I know that there was a little issue with LA Knight having not enough of his stuff at live events, but AEW should absolutely do better than that. I'm completely with you. RP says, give me Ospreay versus MJF. Oh, you're going to get that one day, assuming Ospreay goes to AEW.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, that is a must have match. We're going to talk about Sky Blue versus Ruby Soho right now. Quick match. Ruby Soho got the win. She declared her intent to face Chris Statlander for the TBS title. There were a couple times it felt like Sky Blue was kind of going through the motions in a couple of these spots. Like, there's the kick where Ruby grabbed her, grabbed Sky Blue's foot, and it was just like, you couldn't have done a kick that way type of thing.
Right.
And like the backslide, it looked like it was a backslide with no intent to pin. But other than that, a harmless match that was used to set up Ruby getting a title shot against Chris Statlander. How'd you feel about this?
This is the first we're seeing of Ruby targeting Chris Statlander. Yeah, like number one. One women's match on All In, even though there's four women in it, feels really bad. And at All Out, if it's Statlander versus Ruby Soho, you've done nothing except for Ruby talking to the camera after beating Sky Blue to build to that match. When we've been doing all this stuff with Statlander and Willow and Mercedes Martinez and Diamante, like, it felt like there was something there. Like, certainly you could do, like, Willow has been working on Chris Statlander's side, but Mercedes is still the number one contender. Oh, we got a triple threat. We figured out a triple threat, and now Statlander has to worry about whether or not Willow is, you know, because Willow, there's a lot of stuff you could do with the program they've been running on Collision for weeks to just like say, oh, now Ruby Soho's got a match, feels cheap.
I'm with you. I am with you there. So, also, we had an AEW women's title preview. That makes sense. LaRon Ford says, they've done absolutely nothing to build Ruby versus Statlander. This makes no sense whatsoever. It is just kind of Ruby calling her shot, which you should call your shots with titles, right? I think. You should declare your intent. You should want to do that. This can be building it. I know that some people are like, well, why are they even facing each other? Sometimes the title is enough of a reason.
Right.
But you do want to develop some underlying issues there.
If you want to add Ruby into the whole Chris Mercedes Willow thing and do your own fatal four-way at All Out with those four, I'd be all about it. Let's make that happen.
Darby Allin and Nick Wayne defeat Swerve and AR Fox. Now, I got progressively more confused as this all went on.
Yes.
With very little answer. Basically, it ends with Nick Wayne pinning AR Fox. And I went, why are you pinning AR Fox? He is in this match on Saturday.
Mm.
I figured Nick Wayne was going to get the pin. However,
AR
Fox is not in the match at all. And we got Mr. Showtime saying, and we're going to try to have Luis separate the criticisms of the AR Fox move. But Mr. Showtime says, she's all I want, and I've waited for so long. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Nick Wayne's mom. Nick Wayne's mom has got it going on.
Yes.
Eloquent says, they did AR Fox dirty. SMH. Well, we had Swerve saying, I'm disappointed. He's laughing maniacally, and he's like, I'm disappointed in you, Fox. He's like, you always screw things up. You constantly screw things up. I don't have all the details, but it was very much brought to my attention that AR Fox has not wrestled internationally since 2016. For what reason, I am unsure. But I know that the AEW had planned on AR Fox being in this match, and he can't. That's just... So there's a lot of, they did AR Fox dirty. I see Adrian saying splitting Fox and Swerve is a garbage move. Richard says AR joined Fox, or AR joined Swerve, but got turned on so quick. I understand, and I really like AR Fox and the work that he was doing here, but no choice here. And it was them backed into a corner, and this is the real life situation that they couldn't get around. I don't know about any other personal issues that people are speculating on, but I know that he has not wrestled outside of the country in years. And that's unfortunate. I really wanted to see AR Fox in this spot with Sting. I mean, this has got to be gutting.
It's gutting for him.
But if it is an issue in which involves leaving the country, well, there it is not a coincidence that he has not wrestled outside of the country since 2016.
Right. Yeah.
It couldn't have been something he didn't know about. So,
right.
Brian Cage attacks, and then Darby's like, who do you have? Who do you have? And I'm sitting there like, Brian Cage, clearly.
Yes.
And then Christian and Luchasaurus come out, and I'm like, two of them? Which one? Because we got the chicken shit heel and the guy that does all the work for him. And then they didn't tell us who was in the match.
They did by the end of the night.
But not right then.
Not right then. They did not.
I was like, which one's in this damn match?
Yeah.
So as this segment was going on, I was like, which one is in the match? Fortunately, later on, we learned it is Christian Cage, who does have history with Sting as well.
Oh, yeah.
TNA history with Sting especially. And he did the thing, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
He said, Nick Wayne, I understand you have a father and he is dead. It's not funny.
No, but it is. If Christian said it just like that, which makes it hilarious.
Nick Wayne just sitting in the ring doing this. No. No. No.
No, Alex, no, your father isn't dead? No, your father is definitely dead.
He said, I hope you avoid coming to London. Mm-hmm. That way you don't have to see the coffin close on another person that you're close with.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot wait to see the Christian Cage promos on Paul White. They will put Big Boss. I hope he just reads Big Boss Man's verbatim.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on this?
Initially, I was just so, I don't know, just, I hated it. I hate them splitting Swerve and AR Fox. If it's like a, oh, we did that. So Darby would, because Darby immediately is like, hey, AR Fox, you know, I know what I said about you, but I'll always respect you for helping me that one time. And so I'm going to help you up and you can stand next to me in this ring. And Nick Wayne's got to look over at Darby Allin like, that dude tried to murder me in my garage. So I don't really appreciate you just burying the hatchet with him immediately. But if they're doing something in a storyline where Swerve is pulling a Swerve and like embedding a sleeper agent around Darby and Nick Wayne for their extended feud. Okay. But I was so on board with Swerve and AR Fox working together. Those two guys were perfect for one another. So I hate that they're breaking them up. If it is a thing where if he can't go and they got to find somebody else to be on the show with them, then Christian is the right guy because he's in the middle of a feud with Darby Allin right now. And he's got history with Sting. It's the perfect guy to do it. So, okay. I just really, I really hate it for AR Fox that he doesn't get to be in that spot anymore.
Yeah, I'm bummed about it too. We have the most super chats about this than anything. Brent Lockman says Nick Wayne probably should not be okay with Darby just forgiving Fox that quickly.
There you go.
Completely agree. That was something I completely left out. Darby's like, I don't care what you did. I love you, man. No, there were other ways to do this.
Yep.
Swerve could just be like, you're out. You're out of the match. You're on the bench. You're going to have to sit back and learn.
Sure.
We didn't need a full turn. You could have just ran that back.
We didn't need to jump him out of the gang. We're like,
but we needed resolution on this, and we haven't gotten resolution on Swerve and Keith Lee. They had to finish that off tonight.
Thank you.
What are you talking? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Matthew Hook says Christian is the best heel going, and it's not close. JP says, you think they put Cage in because he's considered a safe worker for Sting? I think they put Christian in because he's considered probably one of the better draws that they have that isn't booked on the show.
Oh, yeah. And also, if we are getting Mr. Copeland in the fold pretty soon, you want Christian out there doing as much as possible because the obvious pairing, whether or not they're aligned or facing each other, is going to be Christian for if Edge shows up. So it'd be a pretty cool thing to see Christian out there when Edge pops up.
Tony Miller says Darby pulling a Sting and immediately trusting and accepting someone that turned on him not even a month ago. I hope that bites him in the ass. Oh my God.
I learned it from watching you.
And you just cut back to see Lex Luger shaking his head at a screen. Mm-hmm. My God. Adrian says, I don't think they needed to split them up, though. I'm with you, Adrian. I'm with you.
Yeah.
James Stalling says, Nick Wayne has so much potential, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. And like, it's so funny because I'll see people that be like, oh, he's a string bean. Okay, go back. Go look at Tyler Black's ROH work. Mm-hmm. Go look at Brian Danielson in ROH compared to WWE. You fill out as you get older. That's part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Black Phoenix brand says pretty hot dynamite. Called Santana and Ortiz as a part of Team BCC. Still have no idea what's going to happen with Cole and MJF. Jericho promo and Ospreay promo was, does Sammy join the Callis family? I think so. Says, why did they have to split Fox and Swerve? They were gold together. I agree. I think that just saying you're benched and you're going to ride the pine and he can make some little comment like you have been.
Right. But you've been riding the pine most of your career. You're riding the pine on Sunday. You're staying here. We'll talk about this when I get back, but I'm very disappointed in you. Like make Swerve into like the taskmaster leader of them. If you screw up on his watch, he does not take kindly to you. And then it's a perfect opportunity for AR Fox to get back into Swerve's good graces after All In, All Out, and then they can be back on the same page together. Jumping him out of the gang felt really too fast.
And Prince Nana bumping into Swerve and him being like, get out of my way! Was great. Grayman said, or actually Christian J says, first off, that shit Christian Cage was saying was wild and hella out of pocket. Too far, in my opinion. Wouldn't have said it if Nick Wayne didn't sign off on it.
That's right.
Chris Williams says, the way the crowd popped for Christian, so you have a father. He should feud with every person on the roster that's father has passed. I think that that's probably a contributing factor as to why this is going on right now, to be honest with you. Vicky says, hi, guys. What does Christian have? Why does Christian have to wreck Sting's moment? I don't like this. Sting and Darby for the win. Fightful rules. Love you, Sean and Alex. Vicky, we appreciate you so much. Thank you for the email you sent me checking on me after my concussion. That really meant a lot. Vicky says, sending another chat for the potential of a Sting interview. I'll up my membership if that happens. Thanks for all you do. You make my sad happy. I did get word he is doing media this Friday. I won't be there, but Tempest will be. And he is a bucket list interview for me. So I was a pissy little bitch over that, to say the least. Yeah. What else we got? Sawyer saying TK will write all the checks just for the chance to book a final Edge and Christian run against the Hardys, and it will be weird. I keep saying dust off Spike Dudley, team him with Bully Ray, get the Dudleys out there, dig up any Dudley that you can find that can take a back bump at this point. Devon can manage them. I love it. I want to see them against the Hardys. I want to see them against the Hardys and the Dudleys, even if it's the broke-ass Dudleys. I don't care. Give me them against FTR. Give me them against the Young Bucks. I want it. That is the run. It is a tag team run. That's what should happen. It works for everybody. JP says, sorry, was live humping. Sent while the show was watching the show before the CC. I was talking about adding Brian Cage for Sting, not Christian. Christian with the heat. Yeah, I mean, oh, okay. So that's why he referenced Cage and it was the wrong Cage. Well, maybe Christian's just doing a favor for his cousin Brian.
Perhaps. That's
it. I would love it if the Cages were like kayfabe related. That would be great.
Love it.
Mike the Jeweler says, sad I didn't get to see Double J live. Wanted to experience the Luke Owen pop. Have a safe and fun trip in London, SRS. Thank you so much. We are heading down the home stretch, guys. Get in your super chats and humper chats like Grayman Media. Says, anything British food you're looking to nibble on this Sunday? No, not really. I spent a week in London last month. I would love some shepherd's pie there, honestly, like some good British shepherd's pie, but it's not on as many menus as I think, unless they just call it something different over there. But I couldn't find as many on the menu. I don't know what will be on a lot of the menus out towards Wembley where I'm staying. So we'll see. Grayman says, also says, how have the anti-AEWites taken to the ADK news? Will the pay-per-view be on 8 p.m. London or U.S.? It won't be 8 p.m. U.S. It'll be live in the U.S.
Yeah,
it'll be much earlier here in the States. House of Black promo. And it's interrupted by the Acclaim calling out House of Black. And then we get Billy Gunn returning and running off the House of Black. And he says, the lovable daddy ass won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's bringing badass Billy Gunn.
Yep.
I didn't know there was a difference. Mm-mm. Like if he would have said, I'm bringing Rockabilly, I'd be like, yeah, there's some significant differences to Rockabilly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was like a significant difference between daddy ass, Mr. Ass, badass Billy Gunn, the one Billy Gunn. You know, when he was with Chuck.
Smoking guns, Billy.
There were some differences there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like when he was with Chuck, that was quite different, to say the least. What was it? Kip James and the Voodoo Ken Mafia. There were some differences there for sure. Yes. I didn't know there was a big difference here, but I have spoken on my affection of Billy Gunn and his work, and I'm happy he's going to get this moment because there are a lot of big moments that I think that he missed out on that he probably should have gotten, and I'm glad he'll get this one.
Yes. I think it's great for him he would get this moment. I think the Acclaimed have proven over the past year and a half, even longer, that they are absolute mainstays and will always be over. They are a major part of AEW's first few years. And so they should absolutely be on this card, and they are doing a great story for Billy Gunn, and the Acclaimed. And also I love the House of Black. I don't want their reign to end. And I am convinced that there's no way you do this story and this match in this setting unless you're going to have the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, the one Billy Gunn, go over. So It's hard for me to I have both things. I think it's great that they have this match and they're in it. I just don't want them to win it.
Zach Barber says, poor Alex, he's going to be the only one booing when badass Billy Gunn and the Acclaim beat the House of Black and 80,000 people lose their minds. Oh, my God. Can't wait for it. I'll be there live just for the spectacle. Mm-hmm. We have Renee Paquette speaking with MJF and Adam Cole separately. They go through the moments that MJF looked like he was going to attack Adam Cole and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And MJF is very cool, calm, and collected about it. He's like, it's the first time I've ever had a friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm not trying to work you guys and all that stuff. He's like, this is the first time I've had a friend. May the best man win type of thing. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole loses his shit, which I think is projection. JP says Cole is turning based on the video packages. Yeah, I think everybody has waited for MJF to turn. And I think the right move is to turn Adam Cole. Like, people want to love MJF.
Right.
And I think that if anybody can pull off the I am a lovable piece of shit like Eddie Guerrero did,
right,
it is MJF.
Right.
So I think that's the way that this should go. And Elite Biscuit says Cole turning on MJF after the tag match, then cheating to win, and the main event is going to hit like crack in the 80s. Wow. Roddy telling us Cole is fake. Do you think that Roddy will side with Cole, or it'll be a, I'll give you a good example. One of the most underrated stories was like, God, I can't remember who all was involved in it, but I felt like it was like Nash and Samoa Joe and the Pope when Hogan and Bischoff came into TNA in power and they looked like heels forever. And they're like, Hogan's a piece of shit. He's trash. He's garbage. He's a politicker. And Hogan was a babyface on screen. And then they turned Hogan and Bischoff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we told you the whole time. We've been beating it over your head. I thought that was really good stuff. Do you think that's what Roderick Strong is doing? Or do you think that he's in cahoots?
Oh, he's absolutely cahoots. If Adam Cole turns heel, it'll be with the help of the Kingdom and Roderick Strong. I'm still not convinced that he is. Because I think the real tragedy of MJF is that this is his first friend that he's ever had. And the reason that he can't keep a real friend and has ever been able to have a real friend is because he won't allow himself to be loved.
Yeah.
He pushes people away. He makes sure that you hate him because he can't stand the idea of being rejected or turned on by somebody else. So he's always got to do it first. I think that's the big tragic flaw of MJF. So I think that they're setting up MJF being like, hey, I'm not working you guys. But we all know that MJF is a liar. So, but Adam Cole being angry about everything is, I think, to throw you off the scent of the obvious thing, which is that MJF turns. I don't know that he will, but I feel like that is a thing that they may be doing right now.
Listen, I watched MLW for years. So to me, like, a great idea for when MJF gets saved from this group is when he's like, I was lying. I've actually had friends before. And it's Richard Holiday and Alex Hammerstone, who are phenomenal performers, wrestlers, everything. Yeah. And would translate very, very well to AEW TV.
Yeah.
JP says it's a bad business decision to break up Better Than You, Baby. The pop they get on crowd reactions is amazing. They need to ride this pair for a while, but they won't, and that's upsetting. I do think they should have ridden with Cody and MJF for a lot longer. I loved the...
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Sting-Luger dynamic, where one's a babyface, one's a heel. And I think that's great. I think there's a winner of a team somewhere extended where that's their whole thing. One's a heel, one's a face, and one's either oblivious to it or he's just like, tough shit. He might be an asshole to you guys, but I like him.
Yeah.
Eloquent asks, where did Andrade disappear to? Just sidelined right now, unable to perform. ROH World Tag Team Championship, Aussie Open defeated the Hardys. A bit of an abrupt match. The Hardys been putting in some pretty good work lately. They've been having some good matches and all this stuff. You know Aussie Open's going to win here. This is another one that I look at and I go, well, this match could have happened on the Dynamite between All In, All Out, because the Hardys might not be on either one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And because Jeff ain't going overseas.
Right.
So you could have had this title match on there. But I understand also wanting to give Aussie Open a win on TV before 0 Hour. But also, this was completely telegraphed. The Hardys were not going to win this match because there's a kangaroo kick being built up.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff can't get into the country. But the match itself, I thought, was pretty good. Pretty fine.
Yeah, it's all right. I think what they're doing is they're further introducing Aussie Open to the Dynamite crowd, because everyone is fully aware of what they do as a team, who they are as a team when they watch 0 Hour and MJF and Adam Cole versus them. And I think that Aussie Open is a great possibility that they will hold the AEW tag team titles at some point during 2024. Sure.
I completely agree. I completely agree. So after this, Adam Cole, MJF come out. You know, there's the teasing of the dissension. But also, Mark Davis stops the kangaroo kick. Mm-hmm. MJF is hyping up.
Yep.
They are now hyping up some kind of kangaroo kick. Who knows what kind. Probably going to be something elementary and a double clothesline. That's brilliant work.
Yeah.
That's brilliant work. Sawyer says betrayal by Adam Cole could either make MJF a huge baby face or truly break him into his most evil final form. There are so many different elements and ways this could go. And I'm genuinely excited for it.
Right.
And I'm excited for you guys to check out all the great content we have this week. Interview. We had two interviews with Damian Sandow, Aaron Stevens this week. We've got Matt Cardona this weekend. We're going to have probably another AEW interview Friday or Saturday. We're going to have two or three more next week. We're going to double up on those. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful for sponsoring those and allowing us to do those. But FightfulSelect.com. All the news you could possibly want. More exclusive news than anywhere over at FightfulSelect.com. And they're going to see this guy, Alex Pawlowski, over there several times. Tell him, Alex.
We are going to be doing a Rampage watch-along while talking about SmackDown on Friday. Probably do something after Collision. Just because it's leading into this thing, the taped Collision for the first time during a Dynamite. So we'll see what that is. And then after All In, Kate and I will review that over on Fightful Select. Then back again on Monday on Fightful Select to review Raw. On Tuesday, we do the NXT review. So come check us out.
Guys, I hope to see some of you in London this weekend. I get in Saturday morning. So people are asking if All In will be in theaters. No, it will not be in theaters. All Out will be in theaters. All In will appear at some Dave & Buster's. I incorrectly posted that it would be in theaters because I got the press release. And honestly, anytime I see that Joe Hand Productions logo at the top, I'm like, here's the theater announcement. They could have said it was showing up my ass and I would have ran the press release. At this point, it's on autopilot. I'm like Ron Burgundy reading a teleprompter at that point. But All Out will be in theaters. All In will not. Some will be it'll be at some establishments though. Mike T90K says babyface MJF versus heel Osprey is the match I would main event next year's Wembley with. Let's hope they both sign with AEW next year. I think if he's mentioning it on TV this month much, I think MJF's probably staying. For Osprey, everybody should be trying to get him.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.